It's held in the same area where the neighborhood table is held over at St. John's. And that's to show up and get as many plants as you want.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
Okay. We've been visiting with Susan Barrett from Ministry Home Care Hospice, and we've also been visiting with Bonnie Weber, Sally Miller, and Barb Torek. And again, ladies, thank you so much for stopping by and telling us about the sale, and happy Easter to you and everybody at Ministry Home Care Hospice.
Thank you very much. Happy Easter.
And with that, we're going to wrap up part one of today's Morning Magazine. The Morning Magazine, as always, is brought to you by Riverview Medical Center. With you, it's personal, and Comfort Air.
I'm with Carrie Hildebrandt from Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. Carrie, energy costs today are on a lot of people's minds. What can you convey to your customers who may have reservations about purchasing a new furnace or air conditioner?
Well, it's kind of the thought. You want to keep putting money into your old furnace that's maybe giving you 50% out of every dollar that you put in it, or go to a Bryant modulating furnace that's 97% efficient, keeps you comfortable, as well as saves you a little bit of money.
What does the slogan really stand for Bryant, and what does it really mean?
Well, Bryant, whatever it takes means we'll do whatever it takes to keep our customers comfortable. Whether their furnace is going out in the middle of the night, we'll be there when they need us. Have people on call 24 hours a day, whatever it takes.
You really pride yourself in customer service.
We try as hard as we can. Can't say we never make a mistake, but we give it our best shot.
And how do people get a hold of you, Carrie, to say get the ball rolling?
We make it as easy as possible. You can get us at 325-3969 for Stevens Point area, 342-0911, or just visit us online, comfortair.com. B-I-Z.
Buena Vista Investment Management of Wisconsin Rapids understands today's global markets and brings small town values and creative investment solutions to your financial portfolio. With active financial managers and great customer service, Buena Vista Investment Management is here to see that your financial well-being is here for many years to come. Give them a call today at 422-0700. Buena Vista Investment Management, 241 3rd Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
For this afternoon, a mixture of clouds and sun, and then we'll have increasing clouds with our winds light at 5 to 10, highs in the low 50s. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight, southeast winds at 5 to 15 as our lows drop back into the upper 20s. And then on Saturday, partly sunny day with our winds breezy out of southeast 10 to 20, highs will be in the low 60s. Showers and storms Saturday night, cloudy skies in upper 40s. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Greg Tatrow.
I was just thinking, not only is it good for growing plants, this weather is good for getting the golf clubs ready for the season. Right now, across the area, it's mostly sunny to sunny skies and a gorgeous morning, 36 in Wausau, 30 in Marshfield, 36 in Stevens Point, and a sunny 40 here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Riverview Hospital in Wisconsin Rapids. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thanks, Jerry, and it's time once again for another edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. You can find your local investment professionals at the following phone number, 715-422-0700. And today, we're going to talk about expenses. And with that, we welcome Pete Bry. And after a very exciting Badger basketball season, and Pete got to go to the Final Four. So, did you have some fun?
Yeah, it was a tremendous experience for so many different reasons. Obviously, having played as a Badger and alumnus, and the pride of being part of that type of program. But more importantly, Bo and I go way back till where he was the assistant coach in 1976. He came with Bill Colefield, and
I remember that.
38 years later, we're still keeping this constant contact, and my son played for him, and his son came out and coached with me out when I was in California, and so to have one of your friends definitely get to the top of the profession and get the heavy weight of being the best coach never to go to the Final Four, and then just all the teammates and former players and friends and family that you saw at the cocktail parties, and my kids flew in, and it was an emotional roller coaster, but obviously a memorable trip. And it was the problem with that game is there's really no one to blame. Both teams played really well.
The refs didn't
screw too much up because there wasn't that much to and things, and they made the shot, we didn't, and it comes down to about as simple as that. But what a wonderful thing for everyone. The state of Wisconsin, last night at the Kohl Center, standing room only for the banquet. And, Bo has made such an influence, has helped and influenced so many people throughout the state in the 38 years he's been here. And, I think once again, even... he had a lot of supporters cheering him on, and Bo's kind of a factor around our community. He supports Solaris, and he came here to talk for the police convention, and he occasionally sneaks up and plays Bullseye. He just came from Bullseye Low, and of course is in the best shape that it's been in probably 15 years. So we're kind of excited to get the season going on there. And with the severe winter, I guess one of the benefits was a lot of snow early to protect the course. So we're really excited, and we got 250 coming to eat brunch on Sunday. So I think everybody's trying to get out of the house if nature would let us.
I think so. Well, today we're going to be talking about expenses, and a lot of times when people are thinking of investing, they don't think about the expenses that are also involved. So let's talk about the basics. So where did you want to begin, Professor?
Well, I do think that, unfortunately, for whatever reason, we take art and we take music, we take geography and we take history. We take a lot of courses from 1 to 12 to give us a broad background and some facts and figures that may be helpful in life. But strangely, there's not a mandatory finance class, which if you think about life, there might not be a day in your life that you're not writing a check, making a charge, paying your mortgage, et cetera,
or collecting a fee, or
thinking about where to put your money. And, and so, I guess fortunately for people like myself, that helps us, I guess, because they have to come back to someone, because for so many people, it's a foreign language and stuff. So part of what I thought in today in our attempt to continue to educate our public was to kind of break down the expenses. And probably where we should start is, the initial step. Who do you go to, and what is it going to cost to go to the wide variety? Because if there was any industry that's really shot up and grown in multiples, it's been the financial industry. Your bank wants to give your financial advice, and your accountant wants to give you financial advice, and your life insurance, so it's right. Wide across the board, and not everyone is created equal. So where I thought we'd start is maybe break down the kind of options that people have what they could expect from those particular options. In saying that, let's start with the brokerage houses, the Merrill Lynch's and Morgan Stanley's and UBS's and Robert W. Baird and Morgan Stanley, those type of institutions that, I worked for Merrill Lynch for 20-some years and obviously had a steep background there, and that their business model continues to evolve. I mean, when I was there and started, it was a transaction-based business. So anytime some client of mine, we did an investment, I was going to get compensated for that investment. So you would get a transaction charge or a commission for stocks. In that particular era, it could be anywhere from 1 to 3% of the gross amount, all right? I think only the people that truly are getting exploited still pay that kind of thing, as they've kind of evolved to more and more a fee-based business. So in a fee-based business, essentially, they get they can still collect transaction fees, all right? But they also, a lot of them just give a flat fee, which tends to be between 1 and 2% on the majority of money under $1 million, all right? So you would get charged every month or every quarter, depending on it, so much fees in that. And then things like alternative investments, insurance, annuities, that type of thing, there's a whole bunch of hidden charges that the brokerage firm and the guy collects that we'll go into later. So their basic model is you either per transaction,
right,
or a flat fee, which tends to be on the higher end of flat fees because they got to pay the broker, they got to keep the lights on, they got to pay those CEOs hundreds of millions for their brilliance. And so those particular fees tend to be somewhat higher, all right?
So brokerage houses, would that also include some of your online?
No. Okay. Well, concept would be somewhat. Let's talk about the online since you brought it up. The E-Trades, Ameritrades, Schwab, Fidelity, most of those have a model whereby it's transaction-oriented.
Okay.
But in this day and age, again, depending on volume, and that you can be trading anywhere from cents on per share to a flat fee, I think Charles Schwab, if you connect online, you pay $8.95 per trade. So if you trade $10,000 or $50,000 or $100,000, you pay $8.95, which on any of those transactions is very minuscule versus the old model. In the old days, $10,000 might cost you $150 to $200 at Merrill Lynch. All right. Most of those come without a consistent investment advisor. So you call in and you get the investor du jour, all right? And he may not know anything about your situation. He may know more. But, you know, he's talking based on the questions you ask and not really with any kind of experience or background in that particular thing. But for those investors who know what they want, this is really such a great alternative to the old brokerage, because you can go in there, do a lot of trades, not necessarily spend a lot of money, but you know, hopefully you've got expertise. You know, there used to be a lot of people who day traded. How'd that turn out?
Right. So that's brokerage houses. RIAs.
RIAs is what Buena Vista is part of. It's RIA stands for Registered Investment Advisor, and it's really kind of developed off the frustration of a lot of guys loving the business. But you know, when we worked at Merrill Lynch, there was a lot of product they wanted you to push because Merrill Lynch made a lot of money. They got investment fees off it, and they got setup fees, and they got ongoing fees and things like that. RIAs cannot take any transaction costs. So if I put a person in to a stock, the commission they pay, but that goes right to Schwab. We don't take that. All right. If I buy them a bond, that would go to Schwab. All right. So our interest, this is probably one of the purest investment advisory models where our interest as advisors are always lined up with our investors. And by that I mean we get paid a flat fee percentage of the assets under management.
Okay.
So if we do good work and those assets increase in value, they now are worth more and we get paid more.
Okay.
If we make bad decisions, they're worth less, and we get paid less. So you can see under that model, we don't get commissions. So, you know, oftentimes in this financial world, guys sell you product because they're getting a lot of commission on the backside that you may or may not know about. So that doesn't take place. And, you know, being like all entrepreneurs, you know, the idea is more rather than less. And so the RIA model really is a model that the investor's interest truly comes first, because if we do bad job, there's a good chance we won't get any fees because they'll go somewhere else. So this is a model that I wish I would have known about earlier, but, you know, and this is the fastest growing sector in the investment advising world, because as more and more people get frustrated with you can do this, you can't do that, you sell this product, da-da-da, and just go out and do what's best for the investor, more and more of these shops are opening up.
Okay. Well, we're going to continue our discussion on this edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bribe right after this.
Buena Vista Investment Management of Wisconsin Rapids understands today's global markets and brings small town values and creative investment solutions to your financial portfolio. With active financial managers and great customer service, Buena Vista Investment Management is here to see that your financial well-being is here for many years to come. Give them a call today at 422-0700. Buena Vista Investment Management, 241 3rd Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
If you're hearing live local high school sports on AM 320 WFHR, it's proudly brought to you by Riverview Medical Center, Solaris, Bullseye Credit Union, Nash Law Group, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, Paper City Savings, Ministry Healthcare, River Cities Bank, 8th Street Auto, Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Wood Trust Bank, The Trading Post, Marshfield Clinic, and Ruby Reds. Follow all the excitement of high school sports right here on AM 1320 WFHR and WFHR.com.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
For this afternoon, a mixture of clouds and sun, and then we'll have increasing clouds with our winds light at 5 to 10, highs in the low 50s. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight, southeast winds at 5 to 15 as our lows drop back into the upper 20s. And then on Saturday, a partly sunny day with our winds breezy out of the southeast, 10 to 20, highs will be in the low 60s. Showers and storms Saturday night, cloudy skies in upper 40s. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by WeatherEye.com, I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro.
Thank you, Greg. Sunny skies and 40 here at AM 1320. Welcome back to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Again, their phone number is 715-422-0700. We're talking about the expenses associated with investing. We've talked about brokerage houses, RIAs, and now let's move on to another one that people are probably pretty familiar with, financial planners.
Yeah, financial planners are kind of an interesting subsection in that there's a lot of them, and they all might have different business models. Some have the model of, say, psychiatrists or lawyers, where they charge you on an hourly basis for the advice that you give. So they're going to get paid regardless of good advice, bad advice, or whatever. They do not necessarily then execute the plan or the advice they give you. You'd have to go to another, you know, like we talked about, Ameritrade, online broker type thing to potentially do some of that. So that's one. The second type of financial advisor is basically someone who just makes it all on the transactions. So again, we're kind of back to what we talked a little bit about, brokerage firm. The only way they make money is get you to execute their the program you want to execute with them.
Okay.
And so, you know, that comes with some things too. They got to have a back room, and they have to have, you know, a lot of the scams that happen in the world are through financial planners that really, you know, they do everything. They custodial the things. They issue the statements. They do the trades, or hopefully they do the trades and not do Bernie Madoff type thing where, you know, he's got houses all over the world. So, you know, so the fact is, like in our particular, the RIA model, our assets are custodied differently at a different location with a different firm than where we are, and so that firm sends them statements and we send them statements. So the likelihood of fraud is greatly reduced if you're looking at your statements at all and things.
Right.
So the second time is commissions. The third is a combo of that where they may charge you hourly and they may be able to do some execution because of their contacts or because of whatever at a relatively, you know, reasonable price, and they get paid for that. So you've got a lot of things going on there. Those financial planners can be really good, but you need to be aware of, you know, if you're dealing with someone who's custodials the assets, delivers the statements, and executes, you know, there's room for, you know, deceit in that. That, you know, is that a comfort level for you? If it is, it's your old-time buddy, and
yeah,
you know, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I think that's one of the things people should definitely be aware of, that and these tend not necessarily to have, you know, at the brokerage level, there's some insurance up to so much in securities and so much in cash. A lot of these guys are not insured.
Okay. Well, that's scary in itself. Insurance agents. We're seeing
again
a lot of that, too.
Yeah, you know, it goes back to my opening statements, the pursuit to capture all the assets. So you got a company like Northwestern Mutual, who is far and away the best life insurance company in terms of what their policies do for their clients and things, but you know they decided let's get in and capture the investment money. So they do that. They do annuities. They do insurance, obviously, because that's what. But a lot of these insurance companies, and we have some in the area, you know, these type of institutions are doing a lot of what's known as packaged products. So instead of doing individual bonds, individual stocks, they're going to do mutual funds. They're going to do annuities. They're going to do some product that, as we get into the next part of this discussion, a lot of those really have a lot of hidden costs that you really don't see. And the average guy, when they give you that 20-page prospectus to disclose everything.
And how many people really read that?
Well, I would guess this winter it was very good starter for fires.
Okay. Let's talk about types of fees, the expenses that people need to be aware of.
Yeah, I think that this is a question, and I think there's always that delicate balance about, I'm afraid to ask them or whatever. But, you know, you really need to know what you're getting into. It's your money.
Right.
And you should know expenses, the comparison of expenses. So, like, we talked a little bit about they've made buying common stocks very affordable almost across the board, all right? Anywhere from cents on the dollar up to, you know, maybe still you got a few dinosaurs working with brokerage fees, brokerages that are charged 1% or 2%. Then you go into mutual funds, and mutual funds, you know, started out as a front-end load product anywhere from, you know, 6.25% on the high side to maybe 1% on the low side, that they took that money right up front. So, but, you know, they disclosed that, and you knew that going in. I always had a little trouble selling those because, you know, who wants to make an investment in the first statement you get, you got 6.25% less money than you gave the guy. And so then they went to 12B1 fee is where you don't pay anything up front, but then they had back-end charges and they had internal charges called 12B1 fees, which took out up to 1%. So if the fund actually made 12%, you know, you lost 1% on 12B1 fees for marketing. You probably lost another 1.25% to the internal paying the managers and doing the transaction. So if you did 12%, your fund might only have done 9.5%. But a couple of those fees, unless you read the prospectus, you're never aware of, and I think that's really important. Bonds, individual bonds, oftentimes you never see a fee, but it's like going to the used car guy. You know, you go in, you sell them your car for $1,000, and you go back there with buyer's remorse the next day, and it might be $1,100 because he marked it up. And that's kind of how individual bonds have worked for the most part.
Okay.
You buy it at X, and really he bought it at X minus something, so he made some profit in there. In bond funds, you got the same commission structure. You know, bonds are kind of individual. Everybody's got a different taste, but, you know, buying individual bonds, there's no ongoing charges, all right? Buying bond funds every year, you know, there's an internal charge maybe anywhere from 0.5% to 1.25%. And in these low-yield markets, you know, if the bond fund makes 2% and the internal fees that you don't see is 1%, you made 1%. So, you know, 50% of your return disappears. And so that has made bond funds pretty expensive type things. But things like options, again, is more commission-based and things. So so first type of fee is commission. The second type of fee we talked about is a little management fee.
Right.
In terms of the percentage of assets in the IRA world, it's pretty standard. Anything under $1 million is probably about 1%. Over $1 million, it starts ratcheting down. Mm-hmm. By $5 million, you're probably paying 0.5% of the assets under management. Brokerage houses, we talked, tend to be a little higher because they have more more overhead to deal with and things. But those are usually disclosed, and so you're pretty much aware, and you know, you oftentimes need to sign off on the commission sheet so that you are aware and stuff. So,
and then have the hourly fee.
Yeah, we have the hourly fees to talk about. But let me talk a little bit about the hidden
fees.
That's
the one I want to get to. Yeah. That's the one people don't pay attention to.
The hidden fees are very important in terms of the long-term nature of investing. You know, we talked about the markups and the markdowns, but in two products that are really popularly used, mutual funds and ETFs, exchange-traded funds, which trade each day, and you can get out on a minute-by-minute basis, where mutual funds, you get the closing price either when you're buying or selling. But involved in that are internal fees. And so in the mutual fund area, you may be paying anywhere from 0.75% up to 2.25%, because if you're doing exotic things like frontier markets and things with that aren't really a fluid, a lot of liquidity type markets, you're paying a high price. And again, so if you're paying in a fund 2.25%, on the high end, mm-hmm. 1.5%, 2.25%, year after year after year. Because, you know, last year was great. No one cared about their internal
right.
fees last year, their hidden fees. Hell, you know, the S&P did 30% plus. So even if your fund underperformed, you might have done 20, 25%. And in this starved world of returns. But, you know, this year we're through 4 months and we're about flat, you know. And so 1.25 to 2.25 is quite high. ETFs, on the other hand, has really driven it down so that 0.8%, 0.5%, they're getting down to they're just ridiculously low. And so, again, you're actually capturing more of the return both on the upside and the downside, because if your fees are less, you know, if you're paying 1.25% in a mutual fund internally, I mean, mm-hmm. it doesn't come out of your pocket. It comes out of the return versus 0.05, you know, you had less of a loss. So those two particular ones are really the one in my kind of pet peeve is that the annuity.
Okay.
And the annuity has a plethora of fees, and it really between ongoing commissions to the guy who sold it to you, and death, you know, the mortality rate fee, and 7% to get out of them, and et cetera, et cetera. You know, you really, really need to be aware of all the hidden fees and never hesitate to talk to your rep about all the fees and not, you know, let him kind of sweet talk or mm-hmm. Talk over.